Hey, kids, it's time for
Surf Shorts!
Welcome to the Surf Shorts podcast, an innovator in modern storytelling, looking towards the future, using business terms like radical, off the lip, caught inside, and totally tubular. Surf Shorts, the storytelling podcast, recorded on VHS, then downloaded to cassette for maximum audio quality. It's totally radical.
Surf Shorts, brought to you by the good people at...
Oh, it's not crickets anymore, people. Outer Banks Hammocks, brought to you by Outer Banks Hammocks. Outer Banks Hammocks, for the ultimate lay. You can reach them on the internet at obxhammocks.com. They've got all kinds of stuff for you now. Obviously, they have hammocks and swings and chairs, and now they're breaking into outdoor furniture. They've got a lot of outdoor furniture, high-end stuff, Three Birds Casual Teak, Outer Banks Aluminum and Resin Wicker, Polly's Island Durawood, Summer Classics. They've got it all. Hit them up at OuterBanksHammocks.com. That's OBXHammocks.com/outdoor-furniture. Outer Banks Hammocks for the ultimate lay. All right, everybody. Oh, welcome back to Surf Shorts this week. This is Matt, as always. I'm here with my buddy Bob. How you doing, man?
Doing good, Matt. Good to see you.
Yeah. Hey, man. Great to see you, too. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
You don't know people out there in Surf Shorts land, but Bob and I have known each other for a long time. We have some pretty deep connections that not a lot of people have, and it's really good to see you.
Great. Always.
Yeah,
always.
Man. Yeah. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, Bob, I always felt guilty because you worked with my wife for a long time, and then we would talk and stuff. And then, you know, come fall, all of a sudden your phone would be blowing up because for those of you who don't know, you know, Bob knows about a pretty good break, and you got to be in with Bob to get to that break. So
Yep, you got to be in.
So, yeah, so we'd always be hitting up Bob when the waves are good.
And you're always welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
You and Marcus.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you and Marcus and nobody else. That's what I'm saying. But, you know, the cool thing about that break is it breaks pretty good. Yeah. And there's nobody there.
Nope. You can be by yourself and not have to worry about the other people getting in your way.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you know, hey, I love everybody that surfs, but I've always had this saying, I hate people with similar interests.
Exactly. And they're all great friends of mine down at the pier.
Yeah.
But that stage of my surfing career is over with.
Yeah.
I go down every now and then and surf, but never on weekends.
Yeah. You surf with the Longboard Association down there, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I see you guys on the camera when I'm at work.
Man, we bring our own crowd too. But hey, most of the people surfing there in the Longboard Association have been there for a while.
Yeah. For sure. Those dudes are legit.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Part of the island.
Yes. It's a good community.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, I talked last month to a kid who's on Instagram, and he goes by the Instagram handle Carter Catches Waves. He's a sixth grader.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's on right now, he's on day 983 in a row surfing.
Good for him.
Yeah. So he lives in New Jersey.
Okay.
So he's surfing like it's free.
So he must live close to the ocean, or his parents are really good people.
Yeah, no, he said he's a couple blocks or a 5-minute bike ride from the ocean. But the reason I'm mentioning Carter is he's a great kid. But we were talking. I was like, yeah, well, you know, where I live, we can take a boat over to an island. And, you know, if you do your homework, you can surf and not see anybody ever. And he was just like, what?
Yeah. So he'd probably be going to UNCW when he gets the chance to do that.
Yeah, I imagine he might want to pull something like that off. You know, you and I have something in common about surfing that a lot of people don't. So we've been to some islands that are kind of off the map for surfing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sure have. Yeah, and you were there long before I was. You know, as a matter of fact, I came back. I don't know. I think I came back and I was like, hey, man, I've been to Trinidad. And you're like, whatever.
Maybe I did.
Yeah.
But yeah. 1975.
Sweet.
1st of January, probably the 3rd, 1975. Jumped on a Biwi Airlines, went down to Trinidad, flew over to Tobago, and spent 3 months in Tobago.
Now, 3 months.
Yeah.
Three months. As a working adult, it sounds like such a fantasy.
Yeah, but I was a student at the time.
Yeah.
I took a summer and a half a year off, made the bucks, decided to, okay, I'm going to spend January, February, and March there, me and four other guys from UNCW. Great experience.
So, you know, I had Jim Skiba on here. I don't know if you listened to that episode, but...
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. Y'all heard that. Jim was talking about, you know, traveling to Mexico and in the early 70s. And, you know, like part of our discussion was how you came up with the idea to go there, how you knew about any ways, because, you know, without the internet, I mean, it's a different world.
Yeah, all of that. We had a buddy that went to the same place the year before, Mount Irving Bay in Tobago, and a nice, beautiful bay. And it was a right point wave breaking off of it. Yeah. And he told us about it, and we said, okay, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds cool.
Yeah.
Had you been traveling? Had you been to Mexico or anything?
No, I've never been. I've had buddies that had gone to Mexico, but you know, I was just, what, 2 years out of, I finished my second year of college. So I was first big, you know, money maker and go play in the waves.
Yeah.
And had to convince my parents, you know, that was the right thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my grade point average helped them figure that out.
Oh, I did it.
Yeah.
You weren't smoking it down, were they?
I knew.
Yeah.
No.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, another thing is like, you probably could have picked somewhere where you knew there would be like consistent ways the whole time.
Yeah, I could have. I like to go to the Pacific Ocean now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Tobago swells would come through. But it wasn't surf every day.
Yeah, it's intermittent.
Yeah. So, but now if I travel, I'm going to have to go to, it's got to go to the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah. Sean O'Donnell and I were talking about this, I don't know, whenever. He and I went to Tobago with our buddy Eddie, and we were like, oh, you know, somebody's like, well, you could get skunked there. And we're like, well, have you ever been? Right?
Yeah.
So that was sort of the deal with us, was like, it's an adventure.
Right, right. And yeah. Ways are gravy.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
Fortunate enough, did you surf Mount Irving Bay? You had to if you go to Tobago.
No, we were just in Trinidad. We never hopped over there. Yeah. For those of you that are as poor at geography as I usually am, Trinidad and Tobago are two islands, but, you know, to
off
get
the more, coast of Venezuela.
Yeah. And yeah, you're flirting with the equator.
Yep.
And you're usually in the trades. I know at Tobago, we had a pretty stiff onshore wind most of the time. In Trinidad, we had a pretty stiff onshore wind at Sanssouci, like most of the time, which
right.
is, I don't know, good and bad. You never got that epic swell. But anyway, to go between the islands, you got to get on a plane or you
a little
take
puddle
a ferry.
Jumper.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't very reassuring. But especially in this early 70s.
Pull start.
Yeah. Hold on, boys.
That's right. Yeah, cross your fingers.
Yeah. But so. They got us there, and we stayed in a little cottage we rented, found one. It was about a mile. We stayed in the village of Buku.
Okay.
And there's a really beautiful reef called Buku Reef that a lot of the people travel there to snorkel it and scuba dive.
A lot of Europeans down there.
Mostly.
Yeah.
It was a British Commonwealth. Part of the British Commonwealth at one time.
Right, yeah.
But yes, a lot of European
influence,
ladies.
Yeah. Yeah, more than some of the other places.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
The point that jutted out, the other side of that peninsula was Back Bay is what they called it. And, of course, that was the nude beach. So we slide over there every now and then.
Baby got back bay.
Yeah. Baby got back bay. Exactly. Yeah, a lot of Europeans... And the resort there had a golf course and everything. And a lot of the surfers that surfed that point were basically from, you know, Britain or France or in those areas right there.
Yeah.
There were some local surfers that were really good. And when the swell came up, a lot of people from Barbados, the better surfers would come from Barbados to surf it.
Huh, I never thought about that. Yeah. I could see that.
Yep. So the big swell that we had a couple of mediocre ones, but this was about 10 to 12 feet.
Right.
And we were walking there. It's about two and a half, three mile walk to it. Walk across the bay, you know, following the road around to get to the spot. And we could just see these huge, you know, swells coming in and just perfect little lines coming through. It was a little more crowded than it had been.
Right.
But those guys, you know, there were some good surfers out there. So it was never a terrible place to surf as far as crowds go.
Yeah.
it was just a long right point. You know, you could, as big as it was, the paddle out was easy.
Yeah.
Because you can get your hair wet.
Yeah, just paddled around
it. You just go right in at the foot of it, whatever, you know, the waves are just real ripple, paddled around it, and set yourself up and join in on the train, you know, follow.
Yeah, so people are pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, they were.
Yeah, that's good. So if this is 75, I'm imagining you're riding like a swallowtail tube rider, single fin?
No, not a swallowtail. It was a pin tail.
Oh, full pin. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was a natural art.
Right.
I stopped in Cocoa Beach to pick it up at the factory.
Nice.
Pete Dooley.
Nice.
And 7 foot. I still have it on my wall.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you know, I had like a 70s tube rider. And the reason I said swallowtail is mine was from that same era. Mm-hmm. And it actually did. Yeah. Instead of coming down to a full pin, it had like a really narrow, obviously, because it's a tube rider, but it had a narrow like swallowtail.
Yeah, the tail board, your foot would go from one rail to the other.
Yeah. Narrow. Your toes dragging the water. Yeah.
Exactly.
I've ridden some of those. And they, besides the fact they were so narrow, you know, on the back half of the board, sometimes the guys would put a little V in there.
Oh, absolutely. This had some V.
Dude.
I know.
So twitchy. Like, I know kids, like, they're like, or younger people that have never actually ridden those boards, they're like, oh, man, that looks so easy to ride. No, bro.
No. You've got to, you know, you got to get used to it.
Yeah.
And it was seven feet long, which was, I was riding a 5'10" on the East Coast.
Right, right.
Natural art.
You're riding a 5'10"?
Yes.
In 1975? Describe this to me.
Natural art.
Uh-huh.
It had a pointed nose. They made some that had a rounded nose. This is a pointed nose.
Right.
And it had a giant swallowtail on the back.
Okay.
And they were kind of like keel fins.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But they were smaller, you know, but two wooden keels.
Yeah. So a twin fin, 5'10" swallowtail.
Yeah.
I stupidly think of 1975 as being more locked in.
Right.
To this teardrop
wave
shape.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's evidently not the case. I guess this is kind of like the beginning
They were very prototype. Those boards would track crazy, but, you know, that was one of the first ones that they put out. But most of them were the gun, meat, all forward on your chest.
Sure, yeah.
And
which worked? Fabulous.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So 5'10" swallowtail twin fin with some, like a, not a regular shortboard fin, but also not a true keel fin. So
right.
Like a modified twin. Yeah.
Right.
What a cool time in surfing, because you watch pros walking down the beach, right? If you're watching YouTube or whatever, and they're pretty much riding the same board, and they're great. They're fabulous surfboards.
Yeah.
But, you know, in 1975, even through like Shane Horan, this is like riding some crazy, like experimental stuff.
You know, what was it? The star fin or something? It looked like a hydrofoil he was riding.
Yeah. I don't remember what they called that. Yeah.
I don't know what. I can't either. You know, his boards were always like you know, something from another world. It looked like a single fin, but at the very end of it, it looked like it had like
Yeah, like a hydrofoil.
Like a hydrofoil.
Yeah.
Truly. And I think it probably had that effect to get the board up out of the water a little bit.
Yeah, that's how we won one of the first America's Cup, by putting that on a sailboat. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's crazy now. Those sailboats are like...
Oh, it's not even, dude. You know, it's not even like...
I mean...
Christopher
Columbus see that and they go, what in the world is that? So it's got a sail on it.
Yeah, I've done a pretty fair amount of sailing. And they could drop me on that boat, and I don't even know what to do.
No. But, you know, another thing about 75 traveling, one board.
Yeah.
You didn't bring a quiver.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the board. And, you know, even at home, buy a board, ride it.
Yeah.
See another board in the shop you like, sell that board and bring another. You didn't have like two or three boards.
Yeah. You didn't have like your multiple conditions and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys, you're in Tobago.
Yep.
The swell comes in. You go around the bay.
Yeah.
It's just peeling.
Peeling, paddling out, getting line. Some of the more experienced guys, especially the Barbados guys, were taking off way down. So I remember paddling for a wave. And it looked like I was in position for it.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I looked down naturally just to check and see. And this guy's taking off way down there. I'm going, there's no way he's going to make that. And next thing I know, I see him just cutting the top off all of it, you know, passing me down the way.
Yeah.
I said, how did he do that?
But, oh, yeah.
You know, he'd done it before and, you know, was used to it.
Yeah,
knew the
that's
wave,
your break.
Knew the wave. But, yeah, we spent 4 or 5 hours doing that. The cool thing about it was the swell would come up. First day was like 3 feet, then head, and then next thing you know, overhead.
Yeah.
And then maxed out. And then it would come back down a little quicker than rising.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would come back down. So you had 4 or 5 days of really good quality surf.
I mean, that's the way, you know, I had someone on here earlier talking about Mexico, and like after a couple of days, they were tuned in.
Yes.
Yeah. Moving deeper and deeper and deeper, feeling more comfortable with it.
Right. And even with the size. You know, if you're, you said you're just out there surfing it, it made it a lot easier. And another cool thing about it was that at the very peak day, we were walking around and the wave was big enough to pass the point, some of them that went wide.
Right.
And came into across the bay and it formed up to make a beautiful left off of just a reef. It wasn't a point or anything like that.
Yeah, something that never broke.
No, never saw it broke, but that one time. And I'm a goofy foot, so I've been riding backside all the whole trip.
I was thinking about that when you're talking about that, right?
And man, I jumped on that wave. Most of us, you know, three out of the four were goofy foots, and there was nobody surfing that one. Nobody.
Yeah, like the ultimate novelty wave.
Yes, yes. So that was interesting, and also a lot of fun to get a little change.
So that was like another situation where it's just peeling off that reef and you paddle back out dry and do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds amazing.
Kick out.
Yeah. You know, a lot of swell gets pushed over to those islands. But for us, we just had the trades on it the whole time.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if it wasn't a mountain, but the point that jutted out to cause the break.
Right.
Maybe it was blocking some of that wind. I'm sure it was blocking some of the wind too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we always did, get up early in the morning and get it done for 3 or 4 hours and go back and siesta and walk back for the evening, glass off and stuff like that.
That sounds like a pretty good life.
For months.
Yeah. It didn't work.
No. Yeah. They wouldn't. And you couldn't work there.
Oh, really?
The right to work, no, you couldn't. Because there were basketball courts down there by a school. I said, man, it'd be nice to go in and coach some basketball and be able to live here.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're definitely, you're a basketball guy.
And
your son played college basketball.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It's pretty, that's a pretty sweet picture you have.
And the Dean Dome taking that foul shot. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Not everybody out there listening in Surf Shorts land has a picture of themselves or their son playing against the Tar Heels in the Dean Dome.
Right. That's pretty cool. And, you know, I had that glimmer in my eye about maybe doing that, but you couldn't do it. They wouldn't let you do it.
Yeah, that is interesting. You know, we always think about it backwards, being, you know, being Americans.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll go do whatever I want anywhere.
Yeah.
And then, you know, somebody comes and does it here and we get all worked up about it.
Yep. Backwards.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because like when I was thinking, oh, did you do any work? You know, it never crossed my mind. Like, oh, you can't, bro.
Yeah, they won't let you. Oh, okay. That's fine.
Plus,
I didn't want to anyway.
Yeah. Well, plus, I mean, like, you know, in a small area like that that's already populated, there probably are limited jobs in the first place.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't be stoked on passing those things out to four Americans for a couple of months.
No, I don't think that would sit well.
No, probably wouldn't go over well at all.
You know, it was all water related, fishing, diving, taking excursions to Buku Reef and,
They have the best pangas down there, too. Like, you know, it's a fad here. Well, you know, I say it's a fad here. Fad makes it sound like I'm belittling it. I would love to have a panga.
A cool boat.
It's a super cool boat. And it probably about 25 years ago really started blowing up here. I had a buddy who had a panga back in the 90s. And I was like, this is amazing. It's like 4 inches of water. Would never take one over the bow.
Right.
And straight out of Trinidad and Tobago, man.
Awesome.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Yeah, they were truly amazing. And I'm sure you had some other interesting adventures we probably couldn't talk about on the show in Tobago. Right.
Yeah, of course we did. You know, it wasn't the rainy season, but, you know, there were some cow pastures. And
right.
Every now and then it would rain.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Well, dude. Here we go. So we were talking before you guys left. You already warmed up surfing before you got on the plane to go.
Warmed up was a stretch.
Yeah.
Because we were surfing. It was amazing. My very good college friend, Tommy Willis from Morehead City, and I, we were.
He's a Willis from Morehead City?
Yeah, there's not many of them.
Yeah, boat building family.
His dad was a. He ran a ship. I mean, not a ship, but, you know, he was a
fisherman.
Boat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we knew there was going to be some swell. So he said, well, let's just go, you know, get our wetsuits on and see what we got. So we pull up to Bogey and the pier.
Wait, I don't know. 1975. What are you wearing for a wetsuit? Like, describe this to me.
I'm wearing a all 3-2.
Okay.
I've got a sleeve, full sleeve on a long john.
Right. So, yeah. So they were separate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Long john over that. So it was really kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because if it was warm enough just to wear the sleeve because of the wind, you had a sleeve.
It was like, hey.
In long john, you had, you know.
It was just like your surfboard. Like you could use it for anything.
Yeah, exactly.
For whatever condition. Yeah. Take it apart. Yeah. They hadn't got the marketing down yet.
No. But it was O'Neill, so it was always summer on the inside.
That's right.
And we did have booties and gloves. And, you know, when you're young like that, 3-2 is fine.
Yeah.
I'm good. I was good. And you really didn't have anything else that we could get. And so we drive up, and it is breaking outside of the pier.
Yeah, and it'll do that there because, you know, the sand, it's more shoaled up on the south-facing beaches.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was just, I mean, it wasn't top to bottom or anything. There were just big rollers coming in.
Right.
And, of course, it's the midwinter. It's not like it is nowadays. So we said, let's go. So we jumped the fence and run down the pier, jump off the pier. We still had to paddle about 50 yards out.
And that's a long pier.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was a long pier at the time.
Yeah, probably longer than it is now because of the storms that go by.
I guarantee you it was longer then.
And it was, we probably were out probably 2 hours, you know, ride. You're just carving back and forth these big faces.
Yeah.
Kick out before you don't have to jump on the pier again and jump off of it.
Yeah, that's always in the back of my mind now.
You know, it was to be so large or, you know, it was, you know, easy to paddle back out. I mean, you just, you know, zigzagging to miss the breaking part of the waves. And so we had a great time, got out of the water. Other people started showing up. Next thing you know, on an airplane to Tobago to redo the whole thing again.
And I've done this before. Like, I just had I have a buddy, Sean, who just did it last week. But surfed us, you know, our cold water booties and gloves, and then you get on that plane, and 2 days later, you're in the ocean, and you're like, oh, man, this is so nice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad I don't have that suit on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm surfing so badly in a wetsuit, right? Well, it's just gloves. It's not the suit. It's gloves.
Mine's the hood. Slightly claustrophobic when it's on, and you can't hear. Sometimes you feel like you drown the waterboarding yourself.
Well, yeah, you're waterboarding yourself. That's what it feels like. That's exactly right. Hey, man, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Enjoyed it, Matt.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
A lot of fun. Thank you.
Surf Shorts Podcast.
Y'all know what time it is. It's time for
Surf Shorts!